us, you have till 10:15. We took a long time, and we'll push things a little bit. And Wes is Jay Chappell's grandson and Larry Chappell's son. And he's like, well, I'm my own man too. More importantly, he belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm really thrilled he could be here on loan from North Stonington today to share with us. Welcome, sir.
And thanks for having
and
us.
Encourage us about this awesome pioneering work God's doing in Minya.
Yeah. Good morning. It was encouraging listening to the prayer requests from you guys talking about your list and who you guys are praying for and the evangelism you guys are doing right here. That excites us because you guys have no idea, you don't know what that the person you share the gospel with and what the ripple effect is that going to be to the ends of the earth. When I was a kid, my parents taught me all kinds of stuff, but John Krajac came and was like kind of spoken to my life just a little bit and said, hey, why don't you go to New Guinea with me? I wasn't even interested in missions or anything. I went and it was like everything I had been taught as a kid just kind of, I just thought, wow, this whole thing is way bigger than me and my little life. And I got to see people groups, find out there was people groups, tribes, like the first song we sang, every kindred, every tribe, there was tribes that haven't heard the gospel for the first time yet. And that was huge. So as you guys are sharing the gospel here with your list that you guys are praying for and stuff, that's exciting because you guys grow and that's just gonna, it's like a drop in the pond. That ripple's gonna keep going and that gospel's gonna spread. We know the final story, right? We can read Revelation 5:9. And we can see who's gathered around the throne. It doesn't just say there's a lot of people gathered around the throne. It says there's some from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people group on earth is going to be represented there. So this mission that we're on is like we know it's going to win. We know this is part of God's plan, so we can be excited about it. And so we just want to thank you guys for supporting us. We couldn't be there in Minya without churches like you guys supporting us. And it's a team effort. So what I want to do this morning, last time I kind of gave you the rationale why we're doing what we're doing from Scripture. This time, and that was before we were presenting the gospel. We had taught literacy so they can read and write in their own language. So the time when we do get to present the gospel, we're not just saying it and they have no idea what we're saying. We're handing out the scripture to them and they can read it. And so we had only been up to literacy. We hadn't taught creation to Christ yet, like foundational teaching. So we returned in 2017 after we visited with you guys and back to these people here, the Minya people, and we started teaching creation to Christ. Well, first we had to finish all the verses we need to teach the gospel. Basically, when we say creation to Christ, we're meaning we're presenting the gospel to a people group who has no understanding of God's word whatsoever. So to present the gospel, to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, when they don't know what a lamb is, they don't know who God is, they don't know any of that, you have to lay some serious foundation before that. So we had to translate 1,500 verses, about 1,000 from the Old Testament, basically the redemptive story that you guys know, all the stories that talk about the redemptive story, and 500 from the Gospels getting up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that was 2017. This was our little literacy house that we taught in here. That's the view off of our porch there. It's really suffering for Jesus when we have coffee in the morning. It's beautiful. But we have this little open-air shelter where in January 2019, we said, guys, you guys have been teaching us your language for 10 years. You guys have been telling us all about your culture and how you view the world for 10 years. We spent the last 2.5 years developing an alphabet for you guys and teaching you. You guys have been struggling from being, not even knowing what a word is, to being able to read fluently in your own language. We've spent hundreds of hours in the office translating scripture. This is what it all comes down to right now, guys. Like, we want you guys to come and listen to this 8-week presentation of the gospel from creation to Christ. And this wasn't our whole village, didn't turn out. There was probably about 2,000 people in our village. There's probably about between 150 to about 200 in the beginning, and then a couple of the cult groups kind of all moved out, the Seventh-day Adventists. And you might have to bleep that out if you're going to put it on. Sorry. And so we had, this was kind of our core group, came down to about 100, 150 people that came to the teaching 5 days a week for about 4 hours a day. We'd start in the afternoons and it would be solid teaching and reading scripture for 2 hours. And then we'd have 2 hours of just question and answer afterwards. So every day for 8 weeks long, it was a marathon. And we were able to, this is the biggest privilege ever, be able to present the gospel to these people who probably since the Tower of Babel had not heard about Christ's work on the cross for them. And it was an amazing time. And what I want to do is share some of the testimonies with you guys. But just thinking, let's turn to one verse before we do that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. This is what we were seeing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I have the New King James here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They had learned about, we started in God's character and creation, drawing who he was. So they had learned about this God who just spoke. All he did was speak, and everything we see came into existence. And then we get to the gospel here. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Let's just stop right there real quick. These guys they would come to us constantly asking us, why are we dying? Why are the spirits killing us? Why are we sick? Why do these things happen? And we could just see this veil. What was this veil from? Verse 4, whose minds, the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And man, it was that kind of sums it up right there. We got to start in creation and talk about this God, and we kept having to separate out. Like, they wanted to say, oh yeah, this God, this is the strong spirit that we already know about. His name's Hanjua, and he's stronger than all the other spirits. And we're like, no, he's stronger than a spirit that you know about. And in creation, and then we get further and further and further. And as God's getting higher and higher and higher, and they're realizing this isn't some spirit that they manipulate, they're seeing themselves lower and lower and lower, and realizing in this redemptive story that God is drawing out, there is nothing that man can do. And we'll get to a couple of those examples. But that's what we got to see, was that this veil that had been over their eyes being in animism for so many years, it was God was just like he had spoken creation and said, let there be light. He spoke into some of these many people's hearts. Wadi was the first one that I was sure he clicked and he got it. We were sitting there. We had gone through Noah. And he was shaking in his boots. He's like, I should have been one of those ones that drowned in the flood. I'm a sinner like that. We get to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's like, I would have burned with those guys. Like, I'm bad. Like, he's spiritual. They saw their spiritual death from back in the garden story. We'll get to that. When we got to Abraham and Isaac, we had the lesson. We had the 2 hours afterwards talking. And everybody kind of went off, and Wadi was just sitting there in the corner, and he was just kind of like visibly shaking. He was kind of scared. And he's like, I should have died. I'm like bound like Isaac, and I should have died. But God provided a perfect sacrifice to take Isaac's place. And we started with Genesis 3:15 about the promised deliverer coming, that God promises that he is going to solve this problem that started back in the garden. And he said, this promised deliverer, is he going to die for us? And he's putting it all together. He had heard some of the cults actually mention the name of Jesus. And I said, yeah. I mean, I didn't say, yeah, yeah. But I said, we're going to get to that. And he's like, is the promised deliverer Jesus? And he had put it all together. And up until that point, he was just like visibly, he saw himself in the flood. He saw himself burning inside. He saw himself on the wrong side of all these stories, or the side he was on. After this lesson right here, he sat in the back. Every lesson was just smiling. No matter how much wrath and doom was coming, he knew he was safe in the ark. But I was like, just keep it to yourself until we get there. Let people come to that on their own. So that was really exciting. Let me go back. So Wadi is now one of the Bible teachers. He's literate. He can read scripture. We have lessons all made up. They kind of study them and adapt them. And he's teaching now as we're not there in our absence. Okay, Reuben, in 2008, we walked down into the decided we're going to minister in this village of Hangwa. Reuben was the first guy to come sit down with us. And he was a leader in the, another cult there. It would sound like a Christian name if I said it. I won't say it. But he was a leader in the church, and he was really worried about another Christian group coming. He was worried about a religious group coming in and kind of being at odds with their group. And I said, you know, Reuben, I said, we're not coming to bring you any religion. I said, God has a message for you guys, and you guys have not heard this in your own language yet. You guys have heard outsiders come in and use the trade language and tell you stories, and you've mixed it with your animism, and you guys don't know the truth yet. You guys, it's all twisted in your mind, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, we don't get it all yet. And so once I said, we're going to learn your language. We're not going to just set up a building and start saying, come to our building and do church with us. I said, we're going to learn your language. We're going to learn your culture, and we're going to teach you in your own language. And he's like, okay. He was excited. So he became one of our biggest supporters. And he probably came over the course of 10 years. He'd come every 2-3 months and ask, is it ready for the, are you going to tell us this story now? And it took a long time before we could actually present the gospel, 10 years. But we used that time to draw out his animism and what we knew he was going to do. And we got to do some of that in the creation story when Adam and Eve sinned. There was three things that happened right away. There was shame, there was fear, and then there was these green leaves here, right? Human effort, trying to fix the problem ourselves. And that's right where he was. He was ready to take all of his animism, learn this new thing that the missionaries are going to tell him, mix it all together, and keep working on this sin problem. But as he's learning the biblical narrative and God's actual plan, is that everything that man did, human effort, was rejected. God rejected their fig leaves that they sewn together, and God killed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve. That was the first start of the story where he's starting to get it. Okay, anything I do, any effort I do is rejected by God. God's got to be the one who provides this covering that's going to take care of this sin problem. Another big thing that I think was huge in the many people's understanding was the idea of spiritual death, right? When we sometimes give a gospel presentation here in the States, we'd be like, you're going to be eternally separated from God. And what does that mean to somebody here? They use his name as a curse word. They don't really care if they're separated from God. But what we had taught the many people, starting chronologically, was that God is the life source. God is the life giver. Death, real death, is being separated from God. It's not our body falling on the ground and rotting. That's physical death. That's not as important as spiritual death. We're spiritual beings. And so when God said to Adam in the garden, when he said, if you eat of this fruit, he said, surely, or it can be translated, the same day you're going to die. Now, how long did Adam live? 930 some years. So was God a liar, or was God talking about spiritual death? He was talking about spiritual death. He was saying, you're going to be spiritually cut off from me, the life source, which is what was represented in this picture. We used all these pictures to help them understand things. So when we said, what is death? They would answer, to be separated and cut off from God as the life source. They knew that. That was huge for them. And so we'll get to the story. But anyway, Reuben, when we got to the cross, it wasn't just that we weren't guilty anymore. It was that this next one here, what we had done was, sorry, you can't tell us. It kind of looks weird. Oh, shoot. We had made these like two fences, maybe, or two kingdoms, right? But they liked fences because they raised pigs and stuff. So over here, originally, we were with God on this whiteboard, this fence over here. It was fellowship with God. We had life. There was no sin. There was no death. There was no pain. There was no thorns. Everything was perfect. We were in fellowship with God. God said, if you sin, surely you shall die. Adam died spiritually. He was cut off from his life source. God can't be a part of sin, so God was separated. They got pushed out of the garden. And we pulled this theme or this all the way through all the redemptive story. And when we got to Christ, God's over here on this side, and all his characters and attributes. We talk about God, Yahweh. The cross became the bridge. In their culture, there's rivers everywhere. Bridges are huge. And the bridge was out since Adam's sin. There was no way back to God. But Jesus Christ became the bridge for us, so that we could be with God again and not just be freed from our guilt, but also have spiritual life again. So they see getting saved as having spiritual life again. So when you hear them describe their testimony, they talk about, I was spiritually dead. I was like Lazarus, and God gave me life. When I looked and I saw what Christ did on the cross, the Spirit of God put me into his family, and now I'm spiritually alive. And it's neat to hear them tell their testimony. It doesn't sound exactly like we would say things here, like, I believed in, you know, Christ dying on the cross for my sins. They believe all that's what they're looking at and seeing at. But what they're understanding is happening is that they were spiritually dead. They felt all that. They felt the veil that they were behind. Satan had blinded their minds. They felt that. They lived in that. And then when God, just like he spoke in creation, shone the light into their heart and they believed, they were just, is super exciting. Amazing privilege to be there and see. Helen is one of your sisters in Christ. She was married, had a little boy named Johnny. She was riding on top of a coffee truck, and the truck flipped over and it broke her femur up in her thigh, and they didn't set it right, didn't heal, just kind of healed about 4 inches shorter than her other leg. And then since she can't work, which is the purpose of a wife over there, the husband abandoned her, so she's left crippled. She can barely walk with her hip being unbalanced and trying to chase little toddler around. But when we came to this, when we said, here, we're ready to give you guys this message, she came every single day. She has probably like a 2-mile walk to our house and then 2-mile walk back to the teaching house here, 2-mile walk back in the dark. But it was one of the first clearest testimonies after we presented the gospel. She was just, it was so clear how she said, you know what? I was like, whichever Old Testament story she picked, all those things. And she even tied it to Lazarus. She was like, I was like Lazarus. I was like in the grave. I was dead. I'm stinking. Like, I was just, that's who I was. And the sin in my life was just a fruit. It was just showing that I'm spiritually dead. and God called my name. She's like, I believe this. God called me just like he called Lazarus. And I saw what Jesus did on the cross. And God was satisfied with what Jesus had done. She believed. She was one of the first ones to get baptized. She's now a literacy teacher. So she's helping all kinds of people, all the believers who want to learn to read and write. She's teaching them. She's witnessed to her brother here, James, on the side, and some other family members. So you guys can pray for Helen, too. We're going to try to get her a shoe and to balance her out because she still comes and teaches literacy, walks all the way over there and stuff. So pray for Helen. Pray for Wadi. Pray for Ruben. This is Ruben here. I'm giving you guys some names.
For...
Yeah, this guy, Daniel, he's holding our youngest son there. We got there 2008. About a couple months after we got there, we realized he's really sick. So we go down, we figure out he's got tuberculosis. It's 100% curable disease, tuberculosis, TB. They used to call it consumption or something here. So curable disease, we go down. He thinks it's the spirits. It's someone put a curse on him and he's sick. So we sit down with Daniel. He's a nice guy. We said, Daniel, I know you think the spirits are doing this and you're going to die. He had already sold everything. He had stopped eating and drinking water. He's like, I'm dead. I'm dying. I'm fine with it. I'm out of here. We said, no, we don't want you to die. We have a story for you. And we have God's message we want to tell you. Please take this tuberculosis medicine. So he came. Every day for 9 months and took tuberculosis medicine. He lived. This was 2009. He heard the gospel message and came. He was the first one to come up to give testimony. He came walking up the hill the morning after we taught. It was like 6:30 in the morning. He's like, Wes, I'm ready to die now. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I remember when you came and you told me, like, don't die until you hear this message. He's like, I believe what Jesus did for me on the cross, and I'm not afraid of dying now. He's like, I was afraid, and I'm not afraid now. Jesus has paid my penalty. And he did die. We were riding down the hill in July to bring Penny back to get her thyroid surgery, and I stopped, and I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to ever see Daniel again on this earth. So I stopped. I took a picture of him, and he died just last month from some other complications. Another super awesome testimony is Binga, quiet guy who just completely loves the Lord. He had a neat story, really exciting testimony, but he came one day, and his pig was lost. And this was after he was saved, and he was coming to the Wednesday night prayer meeting we have. And he came, you know, kind of all sad. For a person like that to lose their pig would be like you losing your super nice vehicle. It takes them, that would be like 100% of their wealth would be their pig that they have. And so he comes, and Penny's sitting there too, and she goes, oh, let's pray about it. This pig had been lost since like Sunday night. Monday, Tuesday, he's coming Wednesday. There's no way. Someone would have stolen it and eaten it and the thing was gone. So we prayed. Penny prayed with him and we prayed together. And then we asked the whole group to pray about it. And the next morning he came walking up the hill, big smile on his face. He's like, found my pig. Is it like someone had tied it in the garden and it made it? He's like, everybody was like, I cannot believe your pig survived 4 days out there without somebody stealing it. And so now he's up there telling that. That was just a really faith-strengthening thing for him. And now when we have Wednesday night prayer meeting and you're mentioning stuff, they're like, don't forget to remember bring his pig. Like, we should pray about that too. And so it's really neat. He's also training as a teacher. So we have three teachers, Ruben, Wadi, and Oppie. Binga's training as a teacher too. This is Oppie. So you saw Wadi first and then Ruben. And then this is Oppie here. He is also one of the teachers. Just amazing testimony. He was really helpful in the beginning because the older guys are kind of like, they have all their animism, you know, ready to listen to this story and figure out how it fits in their worldview. Whereas him, we had him and some other young guys, we had clued him in like, listen, these two stories are polar opposites. So whatever you're hearing, don't mix it. Like, tell us what you're thinking. And so we would, you know, compare God Yahweh and what they call Hanjua, what they thought was God. And he would say, you know, it's like this. Like, we thought this one, we could manipulate this one. We thought we could do these certain things. And he would be happy. But this one over here, this Yahweh, he only deals in blood when it comes to our sin. And he was just so good for separating these things out. And that's how they saw God Yahweh in the beginning, was they were afraid of him. He's this God that only deals in blood. You think about all the redemptive stories in the Old Testament, it's pretty gruesome. It's, you get in the garden, you get God himself killing an animal. Then you get Cain and Abel. And Abel, he comes the way God said to. He didn't do the right thing. He came the way God told him to come. And Cain didn't. And Noah's sacrificing animals after the flood. And all the way through, you get to the priest and how gruesome that whole sacrificial system was. How many animals were actually killed. It was, this God only deals in blood is what they're figuring out. He's not some spirit that we can try to appease. We have no way to go close to this God until finally Jesus himself rents the veil in the New Testament and they get excited about it. But Oppie was awesome for that. Man. Yeah, he's also a literacy teacher. He's helping other guys read and write. He writes like worship songs. He's writing all kinds of new songs. They have no Christian songs in their own language, so he's been writing it with some of the young guys. Gabi had an awesome testimony. We're getting to the death, burial, and resurrection, and we had that morning, we had made a crown of thorns out of lemon branches. If you have huge thorns on them, we made, the boys, Ace and Josiah, made a crown of thorns, and we had that out, and that was part of the thing, and she was like, you know what? She was like, in the Garden of Eden, when we were with the life giver, when we were one with God, there was no thorns, there was no pain, there was no sickness, no suffering. We were with God. And then we sinned. Our parents, Adam and Eve, sinned and started this whole thing. And thorns came about because of that. But Jesus, he took our thorns. He like took our sin. It's a picture of our sin on himself. And he showed that there when he died on the cross. And that was really neat for her to come up with that all on her own. She's just like a deep thinker. She's a really good literacy teacher, strong believer, great friend to Penny. They spend a lot of time fellowshipping together. But horrible home situation too, with her husband there, really hard. So those are a few of the testimonies. You guys can be praying for them. So what we did since then is we taught through creation to Christ again, but from a believer's perspective, so that they're in the ark now, getting saved with Noah and all these stories coming through, just to strengthen their faith in the stories they know, discipleship with them, just spending a lot of one-on-one time. And then we went into the book of Acts, which is a great book. Like, you get early in an Acts, you got a bunch of young believers and they're fighting over food. You know, it's a food fight. It was perfect. It was like what they would do. So they had to, you know, Peter's like, no, we need some deacons to stop all this fighting and separate the work. And so we studied through Acts with them. So they got to see what a young church does. But the neat thing that really jumped out to me that I was able to teach to them, that the one act, it was not the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts. It's really the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God, Jesus sending him from heaven, coming. And every time you see the Spirit was on Peter, the Spirit did this, and then you see the action. So there's all these different actors you see doing their thing, but really it's the Spirit of God moving and the gospel spreading and people excited about sharing their faith and the gospel going out to new places. So the book of Acts was great. We train in more teachers, still working on Bible translation and developing lessons. We had two baptisms so far. Just some of the ladies. There's Helen. This lady, Betty, she was baptized, sprinkled as a kid and from the local cult that's there. And so they're telling her, if you get baptized again with these guys, these missionaries, you're going to have two crosses and you can't get into heaven. It's some weird cultural belief they have. And so she goes, she was kind of like, who are you, God? And she says, in the Bible, it says you're supposed to believe first and then you're supposed to get baptized. And she said, when I was a kid, I was in Satan's family and they just flung water on me. And that I did nothing. I was still in Satan's family when that happened. I've been adopted into God's family now. And I want to show that now I believe, and I want to show you guys that I'm going to get baptized. I haven't been baptized before. I'm getting baptized now. And it was awesome. There was a lot of guys that were afraid to do what Helen did here. It was really neat. That's her daughter-in-law, Tama, who got baptized also. There's Binga and Wadi's helping me baptize with these guys. There's Ken. There's Gabi. This is a young girl. I don't know if there's any young girls here. Stefflin's the youngest girl that got baptized. So quiet, but when she comes to share her testimony, man, she has an understanding of the gospel much greater than most Bible school students. This is Pisan. This is my two boys just graduated high school, and now one's apprenticing as a farrier, and he's getting into welding and stuff. They're here in North Stonington. This was their best friend, Pisan. He got saved. Awesome testimony. And so where we're at right now is... Yeah, most of the community is telling them, you're not going to get to heaven if you do this thing. And they're like, no, I'm doing it because I believe the gospel now. Like, I didn't understand the gospel before. They start using this terminology that we built over 2 months. They're like, I was spiritually dead. And they're like, what? What are you talking about, spiritually dead? And they're like, now I'm spiritually alive. And just that terminology they've used has opened a lot of doors. But just to close, I'm going to be going back. In January 19th, John Krajak's going to go with me. I'm going to go and work on Romans. This is a little part of Romans right here. That's Romans 5:1. And it's to become a righteous person in God's eyes, it's only by faith. And we now can be close to God again. We can have peace with God again because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So we have Romans 1 through 8 done. I want to finish Romans. I have Ephesians drafted. There's 7,957 verses in the New Testament. I only have about 400 that are consultant checked. That means they're completely done in the process. I can print and give to the people. But I have about 1,200 on top of those drafted, and so still have about 6,300 verses to go in the New Testament, but we're shooting for 8 years. I want to try to be done with the New Testament, at least my side of it, drafting and done with the people to where it can just be checked by consultants. So you can be praying for us with that, but that's just once, that's the actual like physical work of it. Making disciples isn't translating scripture. Making disciples is teaching them to, right here, is is teaching them to observe everything that Jesus said. This is, if I was just translating God's word, that would be fairly easy compared to teaching them to observe what Jesus Christ has taught us. So we have a lot of work to do. Be praying for us as we go back. And we just want to see the New Testament completed, but we also want to see them to be able to handle God's word on their own, to where they can teach and multiply. And they're already thinking about 2021 as a possible outreach year. They have invitations from like all kinds of villages all over. They said, we want what you guys have. We know you guys have something different. We have some really neat stories about all of what happened with that. But we have invitations, but it's different in their culture. Like, we have, literacy has to go first. We have to go out and teach them how to read and write at the place where we're going to present the gospel. So it's not just like what the Catholic Church did, you know, 800 years ago and said, this is what God's word says, you know, just believe it. You know, we're showing them as we go. So be praying for the many believers, mainly Reuben, Oppy, and Wadi are the teachers. They all are training guys underneath them. And we're going to be, I'm going to be there for a month, but then we'll be going back about a year from now for another whole four-year term to get a good chunk of the New Testament done, plus make, train more leaders, see outreach go on. And we're just excited about what God is doing there with the many people. So, yeah, continue to pray with us. And we just thank you for supporting us and allowing us to do this work. It's a huge privilege to be able to be over there and do this. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Oh, yeah, my wife brought some little tiny Billums. You might have seen some of the ladies, all they carry Billum bags. And those aren't the full-size ones. Those are just little ornaments. You can either put them on your tree or use them as a keychain. The believers made them. And Penny brought them back, so you guys can take one and use it as a keychain or an ornament just to remember to pray for the many people who now they're some of your brothers and sisters in Christ, to see them grow and mature. And we'll all be gathered around that throne. That Revelation 5:9 scene that we read about, we'll be there with them, and we can put our arm around them and be excited about what God's doing in their lives. So thank you guys for the opportunity to share.
Wes, you guys come on right up here, and we're going to pray for you. Please join us. When are you going back in a couple of weeks, in the 19th of January, and you're staying here? Okay. And when are you coming back?
February 19th.
Okay. And can you, real quick, can you give us a thumbnail of 2020? Are you going to be here for most of the year?
So just that one trip, January, February, and then, yeah, we have some traveling to do the end of winter, and then I am going to take one more trip back probably near the end of summer.
Okay.
Back to Mini again, as I work on translation.
Right, you're going to be doing
pack up too much. I want to go and check it and
right
get it. And Penny also is, she had her half of her thyroid out, and her numbers are steadily going back up. So her other side that they didn't take out was starting to kick in and do thyroid function, to where she probably won't have to take medication. So that's a huge praise too.
Praise the Lord.
So,
Oh, well, let's pray. Father, we love you. And thank you so much for Wes, for Penny, for their testimony, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for how we've been so encouraged in thinking about how the Holy Spirit continues to do this work that we read that began on the day of Pentecost of building the church. Thank you that Wes was able to introduce us to our brothers and sisters in Christ in Minya for this awesome work that you're doing over there, and we ask that you continue to bless it. Father, it seems like there's a small beginning of a fire, and we need you to blow on that tinder to get it started. We ask that all the villages of Minya would come to Christ. We pray that these missionaries that are just getting started, these new believers that are becoming teachers and getting ready to do outreach, that you'd strengthen them for it. Please strengthen Wes and Penny as they do their work here. We praise you for the successful surgery and continued recovery, and ask that you continue to strengthen Penny and her thyroid function. And Father, we ask for their sons, for their children, that you would strengthen them, help them grow strong in your word every day, more and more. And as they break into adulthood, having grown up as missionaries, that they would continue on the path that you've set them, Father. It's such a beautiful thought that they're growing strong in you, and they've been on the field, and they continue on the field here. And Father, we ask finally for Wes and his translation work. 6,000 verses to translate from the Bible into Minya. We ask for you to bless that work, strengthen him for it, give him encouragement and stamina and energy, and make it a blessing. And finally, for his trip, Father, strengthen him and equip him, and let him go back and have a Thessalonian experience. Let him go back and see that he hasn't been physically present, but that you have been blowing on those embers, and that that fire is catching, and that he can rejoice and sing your work. We pray in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Thanks for sharing with us. Thank you.